I kind of felt yesterday.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. It was a Jekyll and Hyde sense. I thought they're not getting in the end zone. They're getting field goals. They're not move. But then you're thinking, well, maybe this. You know, they seem to suddenly turn things around.
Right.
But not so yesterday. Scott Petrek, the Chronicle Telegram, joins us this morning. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you guys?
Well, we're okay. As best as we can feel after a 24-6 loss to, at the time, the winless Jacksonville Jaguars. As we talked last week, you know that eventually they're not going to go undefeated, so somebody had to lose. So I guess the Browns have now cleared it for the rest of the NFL to take it on their shoulders. When did you get a sense, or at what point did you think this is not going well for the Browns yesterday?
Yeah, well, you know, they didn't move the ball pretty much all game long. The first field goal came after an interception that set them up at the 17. In fact, they moved back 5 yards on that drive, and they just couldn't get anything going. But either to Jacksonville. So it felt to me like it was a game the Browns were going to persevere, kind of get through the early struggles, and then pull away. But one of the key points in the game was at that end of the first half. The Browns had 2nd and 2 at about the 24, got stuffed. Instead of kicking a field goal and going 9-0 with 1:50 left, they go for it on 4th down. Jacksonville knows what's coming. They stop the play. And then Jacksonville goes right down the field and scores a touchdown and takes a 7-6 lead. And right there, all of a sudden, Jacksonville got some energy. The crowd, which wasn't huge, but it got a little bit loud and they got excited. And then the Browns never scored again. And that was, I mean, there's several plays in the game, but that to me was the biggest turning point.
Browns couldn't run. They couldn't pass. Are teams getting wise to them, or do you think this was just a blip?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you could say teams are getting wise. That's the first time in 6 games that the Browns struggled offensively for a whole game. It's the first time they didn't score 21 points. I think it was a bad matchup. Jacksonville plays 4-3 as opposed to some of the 3-4 teams the Browns have faced. Jacksonville has a really sturdy front four. They load up to stop the run, which took away the Browns' bread and butter, which sets up their whole offense. And the Browns are without Pro Bowl center Alex Mack for the first time for a full game. I think all those things played into why the offense struggled so badly, and it was a bad matchup, and nobody wanted to listen when Joe Thomas and Mike Pettine said how good Jacksonville's defense was during the week. But it looked like they had sold it yesterday, that it was really legitimate, and it's a defense that's not easy to go up against. So I expect the Browns to find the rhythm again, but they're not a perfect team, which means if they're not playing well, if they run into the wrong matchup, this team can struggle.
Maybe it's just because I'm so focused on the Browns, but there always seems to be at least sometime through the season where there'll be a unknown running back or somebody who doesn't do anything, and they have career games, if not a career season that's propelled by the Browns. We somehow put shine the light on some running backs occasionally. How did that happen yesterday?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a good question. Jacksonville came in with a terrible running game. Their starting running back, Toby Gerhart, was out. They weren't average. You know, he was averaging less than 3 yards a carry. But this Denard Robinson, he played quarterback at Michigan, so he was converted running back, and he had some quickness, but it just illustrated how bad the Browns' run defense has been. For him to get 127 yards, I think it was, you know, the Browns have fixed some things on defense. They played better yesterday. Didn't give up any long touchdown drives, except for that one at the end of the half. But they still allowed Jacksonville to run for 185. So part of that is because the defensive line is decimated by injuries. They were missing Phil Taylor and Atapa Rubin and Billy Wynn. Armonte Bryant's done for the year. But part of it, I don't know if it's scheme or the linebackers, but they haven't fixed it yet, and it's 6 weeks in. And you know, it seems to be a recurring issue every week.
We're talking with Scott Petrek of the Chronicle Telegram about the Browns' loss yesterday to the Jaguars. This puts us back to 3-3. Still a lot of games to go. Give us some positive, any takeaways from yesterday's, or at least the moving forward in the season here.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Tayshaun Gibson, this free safety, added 2 more interceptions. So that's good. He's up to 4, tied for the league lead. Can make a run at the Pro Bowl if he keeps it up. But I think if you go big picture, you know, they come home for Oakland and Tampa Bay, two teams, Oakland's winless, Tampa Bay has one win. If the Browns can win both these games, now you can't look past anybody, obviously, as we saw yesterday. But if they win both games like they should, like they'll be favored to do, you're 5-3 heading into a Thursday night game in Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's struggling. So, you know, we've seen this team play six games, and I think you can fairly say that if they play well, they can play with anyone. If they play poorly, they can lose to anyone. That just means on every Sunday, then, they have to play well. And they didn't yesterday, and it cost them. But if they play well Sunday against Oakland, they should be able to beat the Raiders.
If I remember correctly, Scott, I think the Raiders drafted Khalil Mack, right, the linebacker. How's he doing this year?
You know what? I've not seen much of him. I liked him a lot coming out. I think he's doing okay, but I couldn't tell you yet. I haven't done a whole lot of research on Oakland. I know that Derek Carr was their second pick, the quarterback, and I thought he might wind up in Cleveland. And he started from week one. I think he was the only rookie to start from week one. And he's shown flashes. They almost beat San Diego a couple weeks ago. I saw him make a real good throw yesterday. They lost, I guess, to Arizona, but he made a real nice throw down the sideline. So it's another rookie quarterback. You know, we had Blake Bortles yesterday. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing Derek Carr and Khalil Mack.
Well, why do the scheduler makers put this out, or the TV people put this on as a 4 o'clock game in Cleveland? Do you know what's the story behind that at all?
Actually, I'm glad you reminded me. I would have shown up too early. You know what? I think part of it's because it's a West Coast team, and they also have to balance the schedule. You have to have a certain number of 4 o'clock games just for TV purposes. And I think if a West Coast team is playing, it just makes sense to put it at 4 o'clock.
But we don't.
Otherwise, they'd be watching at breakfast time, right, Bruce?
Right,
come on.
Which happens occasionally, but I think given the option, and if you need to find an afternoon game, that just makes sense.
Now, what about the people who tailgate for a game like that? What any advice you might have for them, perhaps?
Slow down. Don't start as early.
I guess so. That's what we could look forward. But the Browns and the Raiders next Sunday. But a lot of talk this week. We'll see how it goes. We're talking about not losing this week, but it's happened. We got through it. We're still 3-3, so there's a lot of season. Scott, we'll talk again next Monday, hopefully after a Browns victory.
All right. Thanks, guys.